This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Coming today, we'll hear from former State Senator Elbert Lee Guillory of Opelousas on his role as Director of Minority Outreach for the Louisiana GOP. Guillory will comment on the Trump effect on minority outreach by his party and the resignation of Tom Shedler as Secretary of State of Louisiana amid allegations of sexual misconduct with a longtime employee, Dawn Ross. We'll talk with Senator Elbert Lee Guillory, who is always controversial. Author and law professor David Wiener on one of America's favorite international destinations, Amsterdam. Wiener's book is titled Amsterdam Exposed, An American's Journey into the Red Light District. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar is producing today, and our guest for much of the hour is former State Senator Elbert Lee Guillory, a Democrat turned Republican who is now Director of Minority Outreach for the Louisiana GOP, the pride of Opelousas, a lawyer, one time a civil rights activist, and a veteran of the U.S. Armed Services. He was a veteran, or he was in the military during the Vietnam War. 877-217-5757 is your number. Our local dial in Baton Rouge is 297-5633, and you can send an email if you so choose to talk@talklouisiana.org. Well, before we begin any other discussion, the talk of the town and much of the state revolves around the Secretary of State, Tom Shedler, who took office in 2010 after Mitch Landrieu became mayor of New Orleans. Jay Darden then moved over to lieutenant governor, and Tom Shedler became the Secretary of State, and he's been embroiled in controversy, as The Advocate reports in a story front page today by Elizabeth Crisp over allegations that he sexually harassed an employee. And he announced yesterday that he is pulling the plug on his career as Secretary of State after weeks of speculation about his political future. These allegations stem from a relationship that he says was consensual, at least at the start, with a longtime employee. The employee, Dawn Ross, who continues to work for the Secretary of State's office, has denied any involvement with Shedler and said she tried for a decade to rebuff his advances. With us is, of course, former State Senator Elbert Lee Guillory, who knows Tom Shedler pretty well. What do you think, Elbert Guillory?
First, let me say that no one should be subjected to sexual harassment. No one should be subjected to sexual abuse as part of their job. That's absolutely clear and written in stone. With respect to Shedler, my friend, it appears that there was, I've seen some of the documentation over the years, a long time consensual sexual relationship in this situation.
Now, hold on. You say you've seen documentation about this?
I've heard and read in the press documentation about this.
Well, I think the only documentation is Tom Shedler saying it happened. To this point, to my knowledge, he has produced no evidence other than him saying that there was a consensual relationship. And there are other factors that are curious, including a trip that the person allegedly took to Arizona with Tom Shedler. But nonetheless, she denies it. He says there was a relationship. And that's where you're starting from. What does that mean, if anything? Even if there was a relationship, should he be allowed to sexually harass an employee if the relationship has ended?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It appears that this is much more complex than we're reading. I honestly believe that what Shedler has said is true, and that there was a consensual relationship, a long-time consensual relationship. And when it ended, it simply ended. Appears in some of these cases that people are just after some money, and that's unfortunate. But I hope that God blesses both of them, and I hope that both of them do well in their future.
Well, when you say somebody is just looking for money, it sounds like you're you're placing blame on the accuser.
In cases like this, and I've practiced law for, my 48th year of practicing law. So I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there are certainly, without a doubt, many cases where women who have been in relationships with powerful men, and those relationships go south, where they attempt to get some money. There are many, many lawsuits that have been filed with this as an object. And using this technique, and it's become particularly popular in the last 5 years.
If the powerful men misbehave, should they be inclined to pay a penalty? And in this case, when you're talking about a civil action, the remedy is money. Is that an appropriate remedy?
Yes, it is. If there's misbehavior, sometimes there's not misbehavior. Sometimes there's simply a woman scorned.
Well, in this case, she has emails that certainly indicate that Tom Shedler was pursuing her. I don't think she was a woman scorned.
Well, it depends on when. You see, those emails are only one side of the story. I'm sure that Shedler has some emails also, and I'm sure that his lawyer will present them at the appropriate time.
Do you think he should have resigned?
I do not. I do not see that there was sufficient evidence of misbehavior for him to end his career. I'm really sorry about it. He's had a stellar career of public service. And if there's clear evidence of misbehavior, absolutely. But there is not in this case.
So you're saying that Tom Shedler should not have resigned, that it sounds like you even believe that he may be falsely accused. This is, I must say, a surprising statement from you, Senator.
Well, as a longtime lawyer, I don't like to rush to judgment. I like to see the facts. And so far, I have not seen sufficient evidence that Shedler misbehaved in this case. He certainly, there's no question that he was involved with an employee, and that was not the brightest thing that he's ever done. But how that relationship came about and how it came to an end are facts that will be shown in the trial.
Well, if there is a trial, you're a lawyer, usually these things don't go to trial. So I would imagine now that Tom Shedler is a private citizen, or he will be as of a week from now, he may be in a better position to negotiate some kind of a settlement if he wants to. Now, I guess if he wants to go to trial, then we'll certainly have another case in which mud is thrown probably from both sides. But
yes.
What is it in his interest at this point? The man's 68 years old. As you said, he had a stellar reputation until now. Is it in his interest to continue this public dispute?
I think that now that he's going to be a private citizen, he'll be in a better position to defend himself also.
All right. 877-217-5757 is your number. And locally, 297-5633, we're going to talk with Senator Guillory about a few different matters, and he remains bullish on the President of the United States, another embattled citizen of the country. And to show how Senator Guillory is supportive of President Trump, Senator Guillory, who in the past has done videos that have generated more than millions of people watching on YouTube, has another one defending the 45th American president. Allie, can we give it a listen?
Okay, Americans, we are getting too close to the cliff. I've been a lawyer, law professor, cabinet level government manager, worked in the Richard Nixon administration, 50 years in politics, but never, never have I seen anything like this. Get Trump, impeach Trump, stop Trump. This is craziness at its worst. witch hunts, FBI, special prosecutors. This must stop. We accepted your choices. Jimmy Carter, real nice, not too bright. Y'all chose him, we lived with him. Bill Clinton, king of the oral office, we lived with that. Obama, marginally competent at best. We had to live with him, preening around the barnyard and doing absolutely nothing for most Americans. Appalachian Americans, Rust Belt Americans, Southern laborers, urban poor Americans. Nothing. He did nothing for those, many of whom would have gladly kissed his derriere so much they idolized him. And he did nothing for them. I accepted him. I and all the Americans like I am. We accepted the peacock, and we didn't whine, kvetch, cry on your TVs, your newspapers, your radio, 24/7. All you do is whine. We lived with yours. You can live with ours. Your Trump obsession is dividing us, making a bigger division than at any time since the Civil War. Know this. There are Americans who will take to the streets to protect this president and his presidency. Back off, my friends. Do not force a constitutional crisis. If you don't want him, just go vote him out in a couple of years. That's the American way. Don't do this. Don't force us over the cliff. Please, back off.
That's Albert Lee Guillory with his latest YouTube video. It's defending the President of the United States, and Albert is Director of Minority Outreach for the Louisiana Republican Party, and we will talk with him some more. Your number, 877-217-5757. We're back after this pause on WRKN. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar is producing, and our guest for a little while longer is Senator Albert Lee Guillory, former state senator from Opelousas, longtime Louisiana politico, and now Director of Minority Outreach for the Louisiana Republican Party. A party with fewer than 23,000 Republicans. There are more than 700,000 Democrats who are black members of the party. Now, as I stated, only 22,000 and change among African-American Republicans. Also, we're talking about the resignation yesterday of Tom Shedler as Secretary of State. Tom Shedler is to be succeeded next week by his top aide, Kyle Ardoin. And there will be a special election probably for November 6th for this office. 877-217-5757. Mike in Central. Mike, good morning. Let's see. Allie, we lost Mike. Mike, if you can call back, please do so. I apologize. I think that's my fault. David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Senator Albert Lee Guillory. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't know how any African-American or any person of decency could support President Trump, who said there were good people on both sides at the protests in Charlottesville, Virginia. Mr. Guillory, do you know of any good people that you could imagine was on the side of the skinheads, the neo-Nazis, and the Klansmen carrying tiki torches? That was the side where President Trump said there were good people.
All right. What do you think, Senator Guillory, about President Trump defending some of those protesters in Charlottesville who were marching in unison, saying inflammatory things about blacks and Jews? I would imagine those particular protesters you have no stomach for, but I'd like to hear it from you.
I do not have stomach for that. I am proud to have defended this country and its values most of my life, and freedom of speech, even when that speech is abhorrent, as it apparently is to David and certainly sometimes to me. I cannot defend that. I don't want to defend that. I do not defend that. However, I defend their right to be there and their right to protest, just as I have been in the streets protesting and demonstrating when other people did not like what I had to say. This is America, and freedom of speech reigns here. It rules here.
Well, you've stated a few times, and I think most of our listeners know you're an accomplished lawyer, and the president right now is being investigated by special counsel Robert Mueller. These questions that Mr. Mueller apparently wants the president to answer have been leaked to the New York Times. And the president, right now, it appears, is a subject of an investigation into not only collusion in the election with the Russians, but also perhaps obstruction of justice. What do you make of this?
This is the most interesting legal battle that we've had in quite a while. I think that it's going to play out over the next several months. No one knows how it will go. The issue of collusion is an interesting one because there's really no such crime as collusion. If someone calls a politician's office and says, listen, we have some dirt on your opponent, and you really should hear this, even if that information comes from Beelzebub, Lucifer, the devil himself, most politicians will say, okay, well, what is it? Let me hear what you have to say. Apparently, that may have happened in this case, but that is not a crime, not politically, not criminally. It's just politics. I don't see a crime here with respect to collusion.
What about obstruction of justice?
We may be getting closer to a crime with respect to obstruction of justice. Some of the statements made and some of the personnel moves that have been made could be considered obstruction of justice. The most important thing about all of this is the get Trump attitude that is out there. It's not so much about Trump as it is about America. I'm concerned that if we go after, if anyone tries to impeach this president on some sham thing like collusion, we could have a constitutional crisis here. There are many, many Americans who will take to the streets to defend this presidency, and there are others who would try to destroy this presidency and who are working hard to destroy it. We cannot let this destroy America. This is politics. Mm-hmm. Just wait. We have accepted some pretty rotten choices that the Democrats have sent to us. Let's just accept this. In 2 years, vote him out. That's the American way. Anything else?
The last two Democrats have both been reelected in relative landslides, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. You were a Democrat in those years. Did you vote for them, Elbert Gillery?
I certainly voted for Clinton. I voted for Barack the first time. I didn't vote for him the second time.
877-217-5757 for former State Senator Elbert Gillery, Director of Minority Outreach for the Louisiana GOP, Katie in Mid-City. Katie, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say that I'm really disappointed that Representative Gillery would victim blame. And, Jim, I hope that you would consider having him back on again, because I don't think he should be given the platform to shame victims when they come forward like this,
well,
especially given the power dynamic.
I have no idea what he was going to say, and the man is certainly a learned individual who has an opinion that he expressed, and I suspect he's not alone in expressing this. But why are you so offended by this? I understand what you're saying, but it obviously it hit you in a spot that you picked up the phone and called. What is so offensive about what he said to you, Katie?
Yeah, so I was just shocked by the kind of flippancy with which he was referring to so-called evidence, which I thank you for pushing him on, which turned out to be media reports, and felt very comfortable casting aspersions and doubt on her claims with very little evidence to put forth, and I just think that that's inappropriate given the situation.
Well, we thank you for calling, and I'm sure there are more than a few who agree with Katie, who did not call us, but Senator Gillery, you're a man who's been around the block many times. You've been in divorce court a few times. You had to know when you made this statement you were going to inflame the passions of some people who find it offensive to take aim at, you said, one of the statements you made, for example, you were talking about powerful men sometimes are victims of these kinds of legal maneuvers, but The woman who made this claim is in many ways a powerless individual. She is not a public figure, and she, some would say bravely, has come forward. She's allowed her name to be used. She's given an interview to Jim Shannon. So what about her? Is it fair to basically, as you said, attack her for allegations that may or may not be true? But to this point, Tom Shedler did resign, and the emails show that he did pursue her at some point against her will.
I have not attacked her. What I've asked for is balance, is that we not do a rush to judgment, that we wait to see what all of the facts are, because Shedler has not attempted to defend himself in the press, and he certainly has had that option. He's chosen not to do that. Maybe as a private citizen, he will. There is, every coin has two sides. Every story has different sides. I would like to hear the other side of the story before I rush to judgment, before I make a decision about who is guilty and who is not. Having lived in and by the criminal justice system of the United States for almost a half century, I've learned that rushing to judgment or hearing one side of a case, no matter how inflammatory it may be, is not a wise decision.
877-217-5757 is your number. Thank you for calling, Katie, and we'll return, spend a bit more time with Senator Elbert Lee Guillory, supporter of Donald Trump, who, of course, is also accused of sexual misconduct. We'll be back with Senator Guillory after this pause for the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on the second day of May, 2018, 877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Senator Elbert Lee Guillory, Director of Minority Outreach in the Louisiana GOP, and some questions both about politics and about the Tom Shedler situation, and we'll take a few more calls as well. But I mentioned that Elbert Guillory, the GOP in our state, only has about 22,000 African-American Republicans. Your job's to spur more participation and more registration by black Republicans in our state. In the Trump era, is that possible?
Yes, it is. Trump, in only 18 months, has done some fantastic things. He's brought North Korea and South Korea together. That's a major, major move forward for the world and for us, because we have so much invested there in terms of dollars and human beings, 20,000 soldiers. His tax legislation has brought new jobs, bonuses, raises for working families. There are historic highs in black and Hispanic employment, historic highs. He's worked in education with Betsy DeVos to find alternatives to the failing systems. He's withdrawing from wars that should not be fought. He's working very hard on infrastructure. This is the first president in a couple of decades to talk about the infrastructure of America.
Well, you can list what you deem his accomplishments, but he is also, as we know, under investigation. He has all but admitted consorting with a pornographic film star from Baton Rouge. Do all of these things mitigate any of the good things you say the president has accomplished?
No, I believe that it's simply he's a human being, and he has some pluses and some minuses. As an American statesman, I'm certainly concerned about his inflammatory rhetoric. Little Rocket Man, Little Marco, Crooked Hillary. Those, I think, are not very statesmanlike.
All right. We've got a few folks lined up to talk with Senator Guillory, who's always topical, and we appreciate you calling in. We'll start with Leah in South Baton Rouge. Leah, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Leah. You're on with Senator Guillory.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning. I hate to go back to the topic that you all were discussing earlier, but I heard Katie's call, and it really hit home for me. I know the Tom Shedler situation, when I first heard it, didn't really spark my interest until I saw the Advocate publish some emails between Tom and Don. And when I read those emails, it struck a chord with me, because I'm a young attorney in Baton Rouge, and I've spent most of my life, trying to work my way up in the profession. And throughout that time, I've worked for powerful men, and you have to worry as a young woman that by discouraging a powerful man's advances, that might actually affect your career. And so I guess when the senator talks about whether or not there was a consensual relationship between Tom and Don, I hope he'll also consider that regardless of whether that relationship took place, the very fact that Mr. Shedler would punish Don in her job because she did not invite him over for drinks and things like that, I think that's what's problematic. And I hope the senator can at least acknowledge that.
All right. Thank you, Leah. Senator?
I absolutely do acknowledge that. I'm absolutely in agreement with Leah. I believe that misconduct is absolutely unacceptable and should not exist. And when it does exist, it should be punished. My only position on all of this is that I do not want to rush to judgment without hearing both sides of it. I know that there is another side to this story, and it needs to be presented, and I hope that Tom will present his side of it soon. What the outcome will be, I don't know yet, but because I haven't heard it, I just want to hear.
877-217-5757. Still time to talk with Senator Guillory. William in Opelousas. Hello, William. You're on the air with Albert Guillory. Hi, William. Please turn your radio down.
Yes, Jim, thank you for taking my call. I heard Senator Guillory talking about President Obama on the recording you played, and for some reason he's always been against President Obama. I think President Obama is a man of high integrity. He want to defend Donald Trump, who is, in my opinion, the worst president of my lifetime. He acts like a spoiled child, calling people all kind of names. And I wasn't raised that way. And this is the president of the United States. He sits up there calling something a witch hunt where people have been indicted. I don't know what's wrong with him.
All right, Senator Guillory, would you respond to your neighbor in Opelousas, William?
Absolutely, William. I've never been... always against Obama. I voted for, worked for Obama during his first election, was against him in the second election because he did not do what he said he was going to do. He failed his community. He bailed out the big banks. He bailed out big unions. He didn't bail out his own community. He came to Louisiana and tried to take 9,000 little black kids out of the schools that they were in because they were on a Louisiana voucher program, sending them from functioning schools back into some of the worst schools in the state of Louisiana. That is unforgivable. While his kids were going to the best, most expensive private school in Washington, D.C., that is just unacceptable.
All right.
Open borders.
Well, the president, the previous one, is... no longer in office and never will be again. And the new president certainly is a different personality. I think you would acknowledge that, Senator Guillory. And a listener asks about this. Every day there seems to be a story, and sometimes multiple ones, about President Trump that would otherwise be front page, but because he's so active, they get buried. Here's one on A14 in the New York Times that the listener references. President Trump's longtime physician says that after telling the New York Times that Mr. Trump took a drug to promote hair growth, two Trump aides had staged what he called a raid of his Manhattan office in February and removed all of Mr. Trump's medical files. And Harold Bornstein goes on to say that it was Donald Trump who wrote that report prior to the election, saying that Mr. Trump would be the most healthy president in the history of our country. And it seems that Donald Trump is governing in a much different way than his predecessors. Would that be a fair assessment?
He is the most unusual president that I've seen in my lifetime. I've never seen a politician like Donald Trump. He shoots from the hip. He does things and says things that apparently he didn't think through before he does them or says them. I do not support all of that. I mentioned a few things that he has done and done well. He has delivered well in his first year and a half in office.
Steve in New Orleans. Steve, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Senator Albert Guillory.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Senator. Jim, your liberal bias is very out in the open this morning. This president is doing things, like Senator Guillory says. He's bringing peace in parts of the world. He's improving the employment picture.
Now, where has he brought peace? Where has he brought peace?
Do you think he has nothing to do with what's going on in South Korea and North Korea?
Well, I'll give him credit for that, but there isn't peace there.
Okay. Oh, Jim.
Yes?
You know you're a liberal, correct?
I know you're defining me as a liberal. You may be right.
Well,
you may be wrong.
If I listen to your show for 15 minutes, it's just blatantly obvious.
Well, anybody who takes issue with this president is, in your view, a liberal, and I suppose anybody who takes issue with President Obama would be a conservative, but that's not the case. At least I think of myself as a journalist, so I criticize people from both sides of the political aisle when I think they are wrong, and in this case, I'm just asking questions. I'm not making any statements that are right or wrong. I'm just asking questions.
Well, let me ask you this. What evidence of collusion has been brought to bear so far?
Well, I didn't say there was evidence of collusion, but I think that the fact that the president has many of his top people around him who were involved in negotiations or discussions with the Russians would indicate that the president definitely had people in his campaign who were connected to Russia. There's very little doubt about that, and I don't know that you could dispute that. Dan downtown. Thank you, Stephen. Dan, you're on the air with Senator Guillory.
Yes, Senator, isn't The Economist magazine correct that the reason for the peace talks in Korea is because South Korea now has a liberal president willing to negotiate with North Korea despite all the inflammatory rhetoric of Trump, not because of it?
All right. Senator Guillory, your response, please.
I believe that the work that the president has done over the last 8 months in frightening North Korea has brought North Korea to a realization that they should seek peace rather than seeking war. I believe that Trump's mouth is most responsible for North and South Korea's peaceful posture right now.
877-217-5757. We'll spend a few more minutes with Senator Guillory. We're also slated to hear from David Winier, who's written a book about the hotspot of Amsterdam. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Finishing up with the always colorful Albert Lee Guillory, the former state senator who is director of minority outreach for the Louisiana GOP. Noel at LSU. Noel, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hello, Jim. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to correct something Senator Guillory said, and it's been said by many Republicans. Of which I was a former Republican here, but I switched when I realized what the Republican Party was doing. He said that Obama came down here and tried to prevent 9,000 students from attending the schools of their choice. The reality is quite different from that. The Justice Department simply made a request to the courts to hold John White's feet to the fire and report on those students in districts that were currently under desegregation orders. as is required across the country. He did not want to do that, and so they said, if he fails to do that, then he's not met the requirements of the law. And, in fact, the only person in the state of Louisiana, or in the country, who tried to prevent student choice was John White.
All right. Thank you, Noel. Your response, Senator Guillory?
That is an outrageous inaccuracy. The truth is that the Obama Justice Department attempted to use, on behalf of teachers' unions, they attempted to use desegregation to force these little students who had been in the worst schools in Louisiana and who had now, because of vouchers, transferred to private and tried to force those little schools back into those crap schools. That is unforgivable and unforgettable.
All right. Well, Senator Guillory, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you for joining us today and speaking your mind. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Take care, Senator. And we're joined now by David Weiner. He has corrected my pronunciation. He spells his last name W-I-E-N-I-R, but it is Weiner, like Anthony Weiner, the disgraced former congressman from New York City. And it is interesting that his book is Amsterdam Exposed, An American's Journey into the Red Light District. David is a man who has quite an impressive resume. He's a law instructor at UCLA, and also he was educated at Columbia, Oxford, the London School of Economics, Berkeley Law, even attended a school in Amsterdam, and it is a pleasure to talk with you, David.
Thank you, and I'll begin by saying I have no relationship with Anthony Weiner, and my last name is spelled quite differently.
That is correct. That is correct.
Just to get that on the record, but thank you, Jim, so much for having me.
Well, you have taken on one of Americans' pleasure trips, Amsterdam, and I've been there, and it's much more than the red light district. You can go to the Anne Frank Museum, the Van Gogh Museum, some great food. Weather's nice there. The people are friendly. But it is known most for the red light district, and you say that this is a place that is not so pleasant. Why not?
Well, you know, it's a place that millions of Americans visit, just like yourself. And I remember the first time I visited, I was actually 20 years old. I'd never even tried cannabis at that time. I remember lecturing one of my friends about smoking weed before going into the Van Gogh Museum. And when I walked through the red light district, you know, I was horrified like so many Americans are. You see the most beautiful woman you've ever seen standing in windows the size of phone booths selling themselves for $25 for 15 minutes back in the day. And it was horrifying. And when I had the opportunity in law school, actually, to go back and study international law in Amsterdam, which is how I started my career, I had a couple of books had been published by then. My first book I wrote with a member of British Parliament when I was a speechwriter. My second book was about the lack of intellectual diversity in higher education, which was quite provocative. And I wanted to write a provocative, thought-provoking book about the district itself, which really took Americans, you know, deeper into this world than they otherwise would go on their 2 or 3 day mm-hmm. trip. And, you know, what resulted was this book, which has been 18 years in the making. I'm just beyond excited right now to share it with the world. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a very sweet, innocent love story in a very unlikely place. And it's funny, but also devastating in that it really shows, you know, the realities of this world.
The book is Amsterdam Exposed from David Weiner, UCLA law professor. And Europeans often think that they are more sophisticated than Americans, and some Americans would even agree with that assessment. But prostitution is not a very sophisticated activity, and here it is glorified. There is no doubt that it is glorified. This is what Amsterdam is most known for. Why is it tolerated?
Well, I mean, it's interesting when you say it's glorified. You know, I think one of the things that makes this book so provocative is how non-judgmental it is. We find on one side, we find a lot of feminists condemning it, and then we find other feminists and people in the industry romanticizing it. And this book really does neither, and I think that that's what makes it such an interesting read. You know, to answer your question, when it comes to you know, how it's handled there. You know, prostitution, you know, it's been said many, many times, but it's the world's oldest profession. I mean, there are more prostitutes probably in Louisiana and Los Angeles than there are even lawyers. And it's one of those situations where if someone wants to enter into this world, or even worse, if they feel that that's where they belong, which I think is what draws a lot of women into this place, and that's what makes it particularly sad, you know, nothing can really stop them. So the question becomes, you know, what should we as a society be doing, one, to protect those women or who are going to end up into this industry anyway, and then ultimately, how are we, society, ultimately responsible in certain ways for keeping them there by calling them horrible names and marginalizing them and making it almost impossible for them to return back to society when they're ready?
You say you developed a friendship with a Dutch prostitute, and it affected you immensely. How so?
It was a friendship. I could say it was a platonic love affair. You know, the whole book was about, you know, I basically set a rule for myself when I went there. I could not become a client. I could not pay a girl to talk, and I could not pay a girl to, you know, entertain in any or engage in any activities of any sort. And that made it really challenging. And I would say, I always like saying, I've probably been rejected by more prostitutes than any other American in history, like door after door slammed in my face. But then I found a woman who I just connected with somehow, and we saw each other. She was standing behind the glass. And it was like when you see someone, you just kind of connect with. And we had that connection. And ultimately, the book is about us developing trust and her opening up, and ultimately the book ends and culminates with this amazing conversation we have, where she really explains her world honestly to the world. And you know, I really learned that, you know, I wasn't that much different from her, and that we all really are trapped in our own cells, and life perspective, you know, comes from the cage we're ultimately held captive in. And it was one of those things that, just like she felt she belonged in this world, sometimes, you know, I think we all sometimes feel like we belong in our own little worlds, and those worlds can be confining, and sometimes it's important to break free.
David Wiener is with us, and his book is Amsterdam Exposed, and there are those in the United States who believe that the U.S. might as well legalize prostitution, because it's something that is obviously going on in our country. How do you respond to those who are advocating this?
Well, it's an interesting subject. I mean, believe it or not, I am actually married to the queen of cannabis, according to Rolling Stone, in Los Angeles. Her name's Dr. Dina. She's the inspiration for the Nancy Botwin character in the show Weeds, and was the cannabis consultant for Disjointed, and owns the oldest dispensary in Southern California. And so that said, I'm an Ivy League educated lawyer. I've represented Steven Spielberg and Madonna. We actually met online 10 years ago.
Wow.
On a site called JDate for Jewish dating. And it was and I come from a world very different from all of this. And you know, just like cannabis, prostitution, it's one of those things that it's here. And if we don't regulate it, you know, often the consequences for society, you know, are far greater than if we do. I think there is a risk when it comes to legalizing prostitution of making it just that much easier for women to enter into the profession, because they see, oh, if it's legal, then it's okay. But then we have to ask ourselves, too, just because something is legal, we're not morally condoning it. You know, and I think far too many people equate the two. We're simply saying, hey, you know, the cost to society are far greater by making something illegal than by legalizing it, regardless of the morality of the issue.
Is Amsterdam changing?
Yes, and that's what's, you know, this was a book, again, I've worked on for 18 years, and there were periods in my life where I felt, oh, I'm never going to write a book about a love story with a prostitute in Amsterdam. Just, you know, I was in such a different place in my life. But then I started seeing what was really happening in Holland, and there's been a lot of changes. We're actually going there for the big launch of the book next week, and it's going to be very difficult. It's not difficult, but just, you know, maybe difficult, just seeing everything that's changed from when the events of the book took place. You know, the Dutch used to be very tolerant, and now they're looking to shut down all the windows, even kind of get rid of cannabis from the city center and not allow tourists and other people to come there and enjoy that there. And, you know, it's become a big issue. And what's happened is these women who once had a safe place to work, which was patrolled by police, people had to check IDs.
We've got a roll, but the book is Amsterdam Exposed from David Wiener. We thank you for joining us, and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.